to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 60, and I'm your host, BJ Chuang. In my conversation with Mark McDonald, creative brand strategist at beknownforsomething.com, we try to tackle something that's just so big, church communications. And we chip away at it. We went some different directions, but I think we covered some good ground at getting to the essence of what communication is all about, why it is so important, and a valuable curriculum that he's working on and launching in the next month called the Certification Lab from the good people over at the Center for Church Communications. So you want to stay tuned all the way to the end, or fast forward over there for the special discount code for those of you that have part of your role or all of your role in church related to church communications. Enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side. All right. This is the Social Media Church Podcast, and today I'm joined with Mark McDonald, who is currently in North Carolina, but en route to Houston. So you've just had a new opportunity open up for you. Describe what you've been doing and what you'll be going to.
Yes, it certainly is going to be a change. For 27 years, I've been in branding and communications. I was senior creative director for one of Eastern Canada's largest ad agencies. That was somewhat pre-internet. At the end of my time there, it jumped into the internet side. And then I went to work as VP of marketing for one of our larger accounts and became, it was an IT school. So I jumped whole hog into internet, and we actually helped develop the very first online training for Microsoft Office User Specialist for Microsoft. Ended up traveling to the States and actually showing people for the very first time what online education can look like. And then I guess it was almost 14 years ago, we moved to North Carolina, and I set up Pinpoint Creative Group, and that has kind of flowed into beknownforsomething.com. And when we first came here, it was the intention was just to work with churches, and we ended up with mainly churches, but we have some secular accounts as well. But then this past year, just a great church in just outside of Houston, in Cypress, Texas, Community of Faith, offered me a position to come on full time with them, and also do Be Known for Something at the same time. So it's going to be a nice mixture. I'll be able to actually experience what it's like to actually work in a church and to try to implement at the same time that I'll be working with other churches. And I'm writing a book called Be Known for Something. And so I'll still be doing my conference speaking and talking to churches, and then bringing kind of the best of both worlds back to the church.
Well, fantastic. Let's drill down a bit into that. The thing is, with this whole church tech world, it encompasses not only social media, it encompasses audio and lighting and sound and video and even environmental projection. So all that gets lumped into church tech. And then on the church communication side, you've got print, audio, video, and social media, and perhaps a lot more. Since you're the professional, you can unpack that. How does social media fit with all the things that the church is doing in terms of communication and tech? And what's your experience been working from the outside and looking towards working inside the church?
Wow, that's like asking someone to explain the Encyclopedia Britannica. And for any
Wikipedia
of you...
Wikipedia took them out.
I know, and I was just going to say, for anyone who's younger than 20, that used to be a book series that had a bunch of Wikipedia entries in it. And I guess that, you know, Christ did, when he talked about the church, and he, I mean, it really was that the church was the happening place. It's the place where we all got together and we did life together. And as the internet kind of took over, you know, this digital hub that was created, all of a sudden, socially, we started doing life together online. And social media just kind of sprang from that. And out of that, the church was actually a fairly early adopter, woohoo, which it never happens. And here we are. The church has now started to figure out, okay, we're on social media, but what are we supposed to be doing on social media? And ultimately it comes down to, and this is where maybe I'm just a little bit old school. We just got to figure out, why do we actually come to church? You know, the physical church, and what we're trying to do now with millennials is we're trying to figure out what is it, like, what does the church solve in their lives, because they don't get together like they used to get together, but social media actually just plays right into where they like to get together. That is their digital relationships. A lot of things happen through text messaging and social media, and now it's like, okay, so the church has to figure out, how do we make sure that we're getting together where people like to get together? And it's not as a huge difference than a lot of people think that there is with social media. But ultimately, we need to figure out, how do we use social media effectively so that we can do life together? And that's where a lot of churches are just, you know, they're dropping the ball for a lot of reasons.
Well, let's talk about some of those reasons. Why is it so challenging for churches to use social media when, in fact, it's a social institution?
Well, it's funny because social media, ultimately, you know, there's lots of reasons that pop into my mind. And ultimately, social media is about entertainment value. And in the same sense where people... You know, when television started, everyone said our you know, the brains are all going to go to mush, and television has shaped who we are, the baby boomers, because we've all been raised on a certain structure where it's television show, commercial break, television show, commercial break. And we like to call that our 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule is that 80% has to be entertainment, and then only 20% can be commercial. And church loves to be all about commercials, and it drives me crazy. We have to figure out, in that 80%, who is our audience that's coming to us in this social media? And oftentimes we can't see them, but that perceived audience that we have, which is you know, sometimes it has to be the people who we want to attract, not only the people that we are attracting, but that perceived audience that we have. What is it that they would consider to be entertainment value? And that entertainment is what woos them to social media. And then 20% of your time needs to talk more about that connectivity between the entertainment value and to what we truly believe is the engagement of the church. And ultimately, and maybe this is going to get too theological, but I mean, it's just like Jesus went to the place where the well was in John, and it wasn't because the woman was there. He just knew that the woman was going to come to the well. We need to go. We're there on social media. We need to go there. We need to post the content that we know will be entertaining to those people. And then all of a sudden, the woman comes along, and there is this there's a certain plane that the woman was living in, and ultimately, those things that she was looking for, the temporal things, Jesus immediately engaged with her on that temporal, but yet he wasn't talking on the temporal, he was talking on the eternal. And in the same sense, the church, I think, drops the ball because they always think, I got to talk about the eternal, and they push the eternal so strong that it actually repels people, where we need to engage on the temporal and then shift in that 20% so that they get a connectivity with the eternal. And that eternal is that we all are sinners and we all fall short. And Jesus came along to help us with that sin nature. And if we don't make that shift, then the 80% is useless. But the 80% is the thing that woos people in so that we can apply the 20% rule.
Wow, it's always great to hear Jesus' example because he really sets the pace for us and he's the one that we follow and emulate. But you used a very emotionally loaded word for many of the churches out there, and that's the word entertainment. And in the world that you're in with Center for Church Communication, another word that's used in the profession is marketing. So help diffuse the emotion, the negative emotion around that when those are very useful things that we should be more comfortable with.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess that when I started, you know, way back when, over a quarter of a century ago, which sounds so long ago, you know, I was coming up in the ad agency business, and I mean, I wasn't quite as old as Mad Men, but if you watch Mad Men, I mean, that's the agency was run that way. We had copywriters and we had production artists, we had concept people and writers, and I guess that ultimately, as I was coming up through there, I kept thinking, why is it that business knows how to generate an audience and how to make sure that the product is going to relate to the audience? And on the other side, here's church, and we're just doing things the same old, same old, same old, and we're losing relevance. And I mean, I recorded an album way back when. I never thought I was going to start sharing this part of the story. But what ended up happening was I would do concerts in the evening service. I would come and sing a song in the morning service so that they could say, and he's going to do the whole service in the evening. And what ended up happening was between lunch and that evening service, oftentimes I would just engage with the pastor to try to get him to understand some basic concepts of communications and marketing. And every time I said the word marketing, I could see the hairs just stand up on the back of his neck. And anytime I was talking to, you know, groups, deacons, trustees, whatever, whoever it was, I constantly got this, this pushback that happened. And that's why I thought, you know what, I started to have the pushback because, you know, genuine marketing is opening up a market so that you can sell a product for more than it costs you to make it so that you can have a profit. Well, when you get into the church world, I mean, that really is totally foreign. But the concept, and that's why, you know, we call it be known for something, because we talk about every church needs to make sure that they have a solution that actually corresponds with a perceived need in the audience, and that that audience has enough of that perceived need or pain so that the church can come along with a solution that will allow them to adopt them for a product, not for a profit. And the greatest thing about it all is that, yeah, we say and not for a profit, but oh my goodness, I mean, the Bible talks all along about how it does profit a man to adopt Jesus Christ. And as I started reading through scripture, I realized that especially the New Testament, well, yeah, and the Old Testament too, has lots and lots of references of business terminology that they would have understood as a business terminology. And I don't think we need to shy back from it because we're all in this business world and we can understand it from the business world. We just have to realize that it's not necessarily for a monetary profit, that is for the ultimate profit. I mean, it will save a man's life.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So talk about an example of a church that you've worked with that's been one of your greatest joy in helping them go from just an average church to one that is communicating well using print, video, television, radio, social media, and whatever.
There was a church that we worked with. It was one of the very first churches that when we were experimenting and trying to figure out how can you use marketing and promotions and good branding, and we came alongside of them, and the pastor continually told me that we will do whatever it takes to win people to Jesus Christ. And I used to say, like, whatever it takes. And he would say, whatever it takes short of sin to win someone to Jesus Christ. And he really was he spoke into my life, Pastor Buckingham, and he spoke into my life, and he got me to a point where I realized there are a lot of sacred cows in Christianity, and we have to realize which ones are totally biblical and which ones are just cultural. And as culture changes and as this millennium group, grows up, they see things so totally different than what the baby boomers do. And we need to make sure, we talk to some churches and they bristle at, I don't know whether we need to be on social media, because you know what happens on social media. And it's more of a cultural issue than it is a scriptural issue, a biblical issue. And he really challenged me. And it, his children's pastor at the time, we sat down and we thought, well, what exactly do you want to happen with your children's program? And we brought all the teachers together and we started talking about all this stuff. And the one thing that came up was, as long as we're not perceived as just a daycare, because we're not a daycare here. And like, it was just constantly every teacher was saying that. So all the teachers left, and I looked at the pastor and I said, so like, what should we do? And he said, I think we need to become a daycare. And I said, seriously? And he said, if I can bring the kids from the neighborhood, and even if the parents just think it's just for daycare, then I think that we can win not only them for Jesus Christ, but we can also bring their parents. And so we actually sent out a direct mail piece at the time, and said, you want to sleep in the morning? We'll come pick up your kids so that you can sleep in on Sunday mornings. And it actually turned out that, yes, their numbers increased dramatically, but it became the number one way for adults to come to the church, because what they were finding out was that the kids were changed. I mean, they would come home and they would actually learn biblical principles, and parents would come back and they want to see, what exactly is this church all about? And it became a huge outreach. And I mean, I could tell you lots of stories. I mean, we ended up with that church. The children's pastor said that he wanted to, he said, I want to do something big for Easter. And I said, well, what should we do? And he said, I don't know, if it's either go big or go home. So then he decided he was going to do an Easter egg hunt. And I said, okay, well, other churches do Easter egg hunts. He said, no, we're going to do the world's biggest Easter egg hunt. We ended up through a relationship. We just called Hershey and said, would you co-sponsor this this Easter egg hunt? And we ended up getting 250,000 Easter eggs that were donated by Hershey. So that church, ultimately, I mean, they became known in the community, and they're still known in that community. And they just it's interesting because they taught me to dream big and make sure that you just do it in a way that it'll break through. And that's our positioning statement for being known for something, that we have to figure out how to break through and be remembered for the solution that we have to offer the community.
Now, did that church get into social media?
They are. And it's interesting because they have a better structure in traditional media. They're still trying to find their way. We're working with them a little bit, and we're trying to figure out now. They've had some major changes. Pastor Buckingham has left, and they have a new pastor now. So there's that shift in focus, as well as how do we attract more millennials? And they're doing that through social media. They're setting up teams and creative groups in order to be able to use that as much as possible. I think the thing with social media that's oftentimes forgotten is how broad social media is. I mean, it's about YouTube, it's about, Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter, and everybody seems to lump all of that together. And I think that we need to start now as a church breaking those things apart and having separate strategies for each thing. Videos need to be shorter, they need to be more compressed in message. And that first 10 to 20 seconds has to be, it's so critical to get their attention. And it's not necessarily an ongoing attention that you would find there as much as you would say with Facebook or Twitter or, some of the other word-based social mediums.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Unless you're a very large church, you're not going to have a church communication director person to oversee all those channels and oversee print and radio and direct mail and all the other vehicles you have to communicate. So how can a smaller church learn things about communicating effectively? I know you're part of the Center for Church Communication. I've got some old friends there that have been very active, Cynthia Ware and Justin Wise, to name a few. And I know you're part of that now, and thank you for stepping in and being a part of serving the church at large. But talk us through, for the churches that don't have a full-time person doing it, what advice would you give?
Well, and oftentimes those people are just incredibly overwhelmed by all of this. There is so much to do, and ultimately I think that we almost make it more complex than what it should be. I think that we need to start going back to that simple message and figuring out what the simplicity of what you want to be known for is. And when CFCC came to me and said, would you help us work on some curriculum? I've just been so blessed to get to know Stephen Brewster and Jerry True and Phil Bodle, and I guess that they've been working in the church for quite some time, actually in churches. I've been working with churches, and now I'm going to be working in the church. And when we are there, we realize that really it comes down to three big things, and it's how do we become more creative, how do we communicate better, and how do we use our leadership skills. And there's a lot of people who have come up through the ranks, and they've been either in charge of worship guides or the traditional print side. And now as the church has grown bigger and bigger or broader in their communications, and they realize, oh my goodness, we need a website. A lot of those people have been propelled into working on the digital. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to figure out a very intensive 2-day training session where, those three guys, along with myself, will sit, and we're going to deal with all of those issues. Those, how do you become creative? How do you make sure that the print side is being transitioned into a digital hub? And then how do you make sure that you as a communications person, whether you're director of communications or you're part-time communications person, how do you make sure that you're doing the right stuff and using your time as wisely as possible? Talk about leadership, who do you have on your volunteer side? How do you motivate them? How do you make sure that you're just doing communications the right way? And a lot of people are just reinventing the wheel, and they're becoming so overwhelmed by it all that we just said, well, why don't we get some of the best in the business to sit down? And what we want to do is it's a 2-day intensive, but we're actually going to spread it out throughout the year that we'll be doing hangouts, and there'll be some connection between the people who are coming for the certification lab, but also we're going to maintain smaller labs that will meet three more times throughout the year, so that we can kind of follow up, and we're going to be going through some of the books that they should be going through as well. So we're really excited about it. I mean, it's in it's just in a month's time, October 14th and 15th. You're gonna have to help me. I think it is 14th and 15th. Nashville, Tennessee, we're going to be meeting. And I mean, it really is one of those things that if you're in this field and you really feel like you're just floundering and trying to figure this everything out, it is worth every penny that you'll pay for it, because a lot of it has been invented already. We're just going to share some of the secrets and tips and tricks along the way.
Yeah, and I was reading a story that this really came out of some feedback that you got, that people that were hired, or whether part-time or full-time, to cover church communication, that they didn't know where to go for help. And you put this curriculum together, kind of the things you've learned along the way, because, I mean, there's not really a degree program where you can get it. So to have a certified lab is such a valuable offering. And who's doing the certifying, just so we know what kind of credential it is?
Well, the certification is through the Center for Church Communications. And, some people don't, as soon as you say CFCC, they go, oh, okay. And then you say, they're the home of Church Marketing Sucks blog. And then everyone goes, okay, I know who that is. So it's those people. And and I sit on the board of CFCC. And I mean, every person that I've met that's connected with CFCC is, I mean, their hearts are in the right place. We just really want to reach out and figure out, you know, we say that we're part of this community for church communications, and yet what we want to do is we just want to make sure that we have a standard that everybody understands, that there's a certain quality that's required, because I believe that the church is called to a higher standard, and we have to make sure that we're doing it as good or better than what the world's using it for.
Yeah, and having worked with large churches as well as small churches, communication is always a challenge. And even if you do have someone on staff, it's still very hard to make sure everybody gets the information that they need without being overwhelmed with so much.
And oftentimes what we found is that we just did a survey of communications people from all across the country. I think there were 700 of them, I think that 700 answered the survey. And I think that almost a third of them have less than 5 years experience. And that just told us, wow, I mean, the people who have a lot more experience, we need to come alongside and really help people so that it can kind of set a path so we can just do this a whole lot better.
Well, fantastic. October 14th and 15th in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're limiting the number of seats so that you can have good classroom interaction and learning. And for our listeners, do you have a special discount that you might be able to offer?
Ooh, let's just say use my name, Mark, M-A-R-K, at checkout, and I'll give you $50 off. And make sure, like, if there's a note section, they'll know as soon as they see Mark in there that they'll honor that. And I'm just looking forward to meeting so many people. And we have limited it to 50, mainly because this is the first time. We want to make sure that we get this right. And then hopefully we're going to be able to broaden it and maybe even do some regional things. So I would love to hear from anybody just to, for some suggestions on how we can roll this out as well.
Well, fantastic, Mark. Thank you for putting together such a valuable offering to help the church be more effective at getting the word, the gospel, out to as many people as possible. Blessing to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark McDonald, for connecting with me on the Social Media Church podcast. You'll be able to check the show notes for links to the certification lab, as well as connecting with Mark McDonald at socialmediachurch.net. And I'd love to hear from you too. What questions do you have for Mark or for me or stories? I leave it wide open, because church tech and church communication is just so big, and let's keep chipping away at it. That's why we're having conversations here at Social Media Church. You can connect with me on Twitter or Facebook or even Pinterest. I've got a account over there if you want to shoot me a message, or just call in or text in. The number to our voicemail line is 949-354-3216. The number again, 949-354-3216. And appreciate you sharing the word about this podcast. It's all word of mouth and word of mouse. And so use that share button, use that like button. And if you happen to be on iTunes in the iOS world, jump into the iTunes store and add a rating and add a review for this podcast. It's under Social Media Church. You can search for it or just click on the little podcast button at socialmediachurch.net over in the right column. It's a purple little guy. And click through, add a review. Help others to find this conversation, join it so that we can all learn together and chip away at the big topic and ever-growing topic. The thing that's exciting and nervous for others is how fast and how often technology and social media is always changing. That's all I've got for this episode. My name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for staying connected with me on the Social Media Church podcast. Again, our URL is socialmediachurch.net. And until next time, we'll stay connected online.